This episode of Harvey Brownstone Interviews is brought to you by the Harvey Brownstone Talk Show Blend Coffee, available at HollywoodBlends.com. Everyone's saying it's the best coffee they've ever tasted. Why not give it a try and see for yourself?
Hello, everyone. I'm Harvey Brownstone, and today's guest is a highly popular and beloved multi-award-winning actor, singer, writer, director, and producer who's conquered every medium in the entertainment industry. He is, of course, a superstar in the world of daytime television for his iconic portrayal since 1981 of Danny Romolotti on America's number one soap opera, The Young and the Restless, for which he's won two Young Artist Awards, as well as a Soap Opera Digest Award nomination. And we also remember him as Flyman on the hit TV sitcom, The Facts of Life. As a singer and recording artist, he had 8 top 40 hits and multiple gold records, including his number one hit song, Rock On, and a string of other hits, including She Did It, Cover of Love, Straight From My Heart, What a Price to Pay, and one of my all-time favorites, Was It Nothing at All, which won him a BMI Songwriting Award. And I also have to mention his beautiful duet with Sharon Hendricks, Bring Back the Christmas Card. And of course, we all remember his voice from the theme song to the hit TV show Saved by the Bell. On the stage, he broke box office records on Broadway and in Los Angeles when he starred in the 1993 revival of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and his work on the Cast album earned him a Grammy Award nomination. Behind the camera, our guest, together with his brilliant wife, Janine, has written a dozen movies, which he has gone on to produce and direct, including High Strung, High Strung Free Dance, Marley and Me, The Puppy Years, Hot Tamale, Moondance Alexander, The Sweeter Side of Life, and Love by Design, all of which have won a whole slew of prestigious film festival awards. He and Janine have also brought us some wonderful holiday movies, including A Princess for Christmas, The Christmas Waltz, Much Ado About Christmas, and Paris Christmas Waltz. And their brand new movie, The Wrong Paris, is coming to Netflix on September the 12th. I'm delighted to welcome the incomparable Michael Damian to our show. Michael, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, Harvey, that was quite an intro. I was like, you just read my whole resume, and I kind of sometimes forget some of these things, and I'm like, wow, okay, cool. That was me. Thank you. That was it felt really good to hear that I at least haven't been sitting around doing nothing.
Nothing could be further from the truth, my friend. Now, you started out as a member of your family band, The Weirs. Yeah. Who were your musical influences growing up?
We loved everybody from the Beatles to the Osmonds. In fact, it's so fun because I was such a big Osmond fan. And now, you know, I'm friends with Donny Osmond today. And it's pretty cool. And we have this parallel that he played Joseph in Toronto and in Minneapolis. And then I played Joseph on Broadway and in LA. And so it's kind of fun that we, you know, we have that little common thread. You know, I just love pop music. I love jazz. I love classical opera. My mother was a concert pianist. She was virtuosic, played just incredibly well. And taught us all music and music theory at a young age. And then everybody in the family broke off into different instruments. And I played keyboards, vibes, trombone, clarinet. And so, you know, music was my first love. And then when I had the song, She Did It, and performed it on Dick Clark's American Bandstand. And thank you, Dick Clark, God rest your soul. You're a wonderful, wonderful guy, gave me a big break. The producers of Young and the Restless saw me on American Bandstand. And the creator and, you know, Bill Bell and team and saw me on American Bandstand, and they came up with the character, you know, Danny Romolotti, struggling singer waiter. And so that's kind of how it all began.
Well, I remember seeing you on American Bandstand, I think at least twice. One time you were on with Sister Sledge, the other time you were on with Jose Feliciano.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, but I remember I sang She Did It one time, and then I sang another. I can't remember. I was on a few times.
And did they actually let you sing, or did they make you lip sync?
Oh no, you would lip sync because everything. It was not, you know, they were not set up to do live concert events or live performances. It was really more like even like you go on and you could sing to the track. Although when I did Jay Leno, they had me sing. That was live actually when I did the music from Joseph. Perform that. That was pretty cool.
Do you have any opinions about the music industry today? I mean, it's changed so much since you were pumping out hit records as a 20-year-old.
I think it's pretty exciting. I think there's some really amazing, performers, and some of the it's incredible the longevity with a lot of these people. Justin Timberlake is rocking it, and I like the new performers. Dua Lipa is fantastic, and Chappell Roan, she's amazing.
But the industry itself has
Oh
really
yeah, it's
changed.
completely different. Yeah, it's completely different. Before you record the album, you get you record get this pick the single, go on tour to the radio stations and meet the fans, meet the programmers, and perform at the radio station events, and that was your promotional tour all across the country and the world. And this is all pre social media, and how stuff travels much faster now. So now they just put it out and it's everywhere. Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, Pandora,
Well, I
and
got to tell you, the Rock On remix, I think it's really cool. It's totally
thank you.
contemporary.
I really love
Bravo to whoever had the idea to do that.
it.
Bravo.
Yeah, that was me and my thank you. That was me and my brothers that I've been working with since childhood, Larry and Tom, and they're amazing. They're always staying current. They're always working on new stuff and trying to really create new sounds. And then we did also the remix for Was It Nothing at All. And I don't know if you got a chance to hear that. And thank you, by the way. You mentioned that was one of your favorite songs, and that means a lot because I remember when I was writing it was just I had this overwhelming inspiration. The song is very special to me and means a lot to me. So the fact that you said it was one of your favorites is really cool. Thank
Oh,
you.
I absolutely love it. When you were first approached, Michael, about joining the cast of The Young and the Restless, had you ever done any acting?
No. And in fact, they asked me on the phone, "Oh, by the way, you act, don't you?" And I said, "Of course I do. Absolutely. Yes." And then I hung up and I never forget, I turned to my brother Larry. I said, "Larry, you have to teach me how to act before Monday." Because they wanted me to come in and do a screen test on camera with Lilibet Stern, who played the original Patty. And I was like, Larry, my brother's like, "Okay, let's start working on it." And he just kind of pushed me through a crash course. My brother had written a lot of musicals back when and had a lot of experience with directing, stage shows.
But that's
He
really quite remarkable. I mean, had you even ever seen the show?
That was the other thing they asked me. They said, "How do you like The Young and the Restless?" I love The Young and the Restless.
Well, when you
Terrible.
agreed to
I
become an
can't believe I'm
actor,
telling you all this. This is not good, by the way. You
I think
can't.
it's amazing, first of all, that you're a natural actor. But
That's
when
okay.
you agreed to become an actor on the show, were you worried about the impact it would have on your music career?
No, because the cool thing is that the show said, "Oh, and you're going to perform your songs on the show, and so you're going to be this guy that wants to make it in the music business, and he wants to record, he wants to do concerts, he wants to." So I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is a dream come true that I can actually be on a show that I can play my music and play a musician," and I felt very comfortable because that was sort of who I was. And if he was a crazy person or some sort of a psychopath or a mean-spirited person or somebody vindictive, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there with you, but that might have been something difficult for me. I commend actors that tap into that side and could do that, and make that believable.
You were one of the very first music stars to be a regular cast member in a soap opera, and the introduction of music into the show in such a current modern way was very innovative and refreshing, don't you think?
I think it was really super innovative, and commend Bill Bell and Ed Scott and John Conboy. It was something totally new.
It was
And
visionary, really, it was.
yeah, I mean, I'll never forget when I said, they would come to me and say, "Hey, we want to do the big concert. What do you, but we want to mimic it after one of your concert events. So can you tell us, what it looks like. I was like, yeah, the stage is like this. We do the big lighting with the very lights. We have some smoke and effects. We got to pack it with some. I mean, they had hundreds of extras as the crowd. And, we got to get all the, we just kind of worked together on how to make the concert events look legitimate, which they ended up looking very legitimate because we were really doing a concert event on the soundstage. They took all the sets out and took one whole entire stage and made it an entire arena, basically,
Oh, it was
and
amazing. And now you've said Danny is a nice guy, but he's had a lot of really interesting storylines. He's been poisoned, falsely accused of cocaine possession. He's been
Oh
married to
God.
three women, one of them twice.
Oh
He's been
my
tricked into believing he's the father of a child
God.
and then had a bitter custody battle in court. He had a kidney transplant.
Oh
And of
dear Lord.
course, his relationship with Cricket and that triangle with Phyllis is so riveting. Have you always been happy with the storylines for your character?
Yeah, I think that wow, now that you rattled that off, that's pretty that's quite a journey,
Yeah, he's a nice guy, but he's lived.
Well, when I was saying nice guy, I think it was, when I first started, he was very innocent and he was a young guy that just wanted to make music and ended up meeting Patty and helping her out of a situation and then helping Tracy. Remember Tracy Abbott got pregnant and she was worried about telling her dad. And so I married her to help her, out of that whole situation. And so there's a lot of really pretty amazing things about qualities about the character. But Christian and I, we made a joke. I don't know if you got it a little last year during the holiday show. Did you hear Christian LeBlanc say, "How's the kidney?
Oh, yes.
How's the
Yeah.
kidney?" or something? You know what I mean? I was like, because, right? I have his kidney, right?
Yeah, that was very cool. I got to mention one really special episode on The Bold and the Beautiful last year when you sang Rock On in
Oh,
the
that was
Forrester
fun.
House. Did you have a lot
Yeah.
of fun doing that?
That was so much fun. That was a blast. We had a great time. I literally just walked across the hall, 40 yards across the hall to the Bold and the Beautiful. So I've never walked over there. In fact, the only time I ever was on that stage is when it was, I guess it was like the Price is Right stage. And I did the She Did It concert where Danny fantasizes that he's famous. But that was fun going over there to the world of Bold and the Beautiful. And we had a great time.
We've had a lot of veteran soap opera stars on our show, Eric Braeden, Susan Seaforth Hayes, John McCook, Louise Sorrell, many more. And they've all said that even though working on soap operas is the most challenging work any actor can have, they don't think soap opera actors get the respect and the recognition they deserve within the industry. Do you agree with that?
I've never heard anything negative about it. I think the only thing that is difficult with being on a soap opera is the schedule. And because of this, now because I'm talking now as a producer and a film producer and film director, from that standpoint, it's always, well, how are we going to get them? We got to get them for we need them for 5 weeks. And is the show going to let them out? Do you see what I mean? And so a lot of soap actors don't have the opportunity to do other projects for that very reason, because they're writing these shows and it's all kind of happening spontaneously and in real time and not that much advance. So therefore, it's sort of hard for soap actors to do other projects, because then they mess up their storyline, the momentum, and now the storyline stalls. You know what I mean? So
And that is limiting for sure. Are there times you look at a script and you wonder how you're ever going to memorize all that dialogue?
Yes. As a matter of fact, that happened to me about, I would say, a month ago. And it was two shows in one day, and it was 39 pages. I started a week ahead of time. And then, sure enough, I knew they were going to send me cuts and change dialogue, which they did. So I had, like day before, I had to retweak a bunch of stuff. But I've been doing a new, I've never done this before because I've never had this kind of bulk of dialogue before. When you come in, it's like you just do so much in one day. It's kind of cool. Actually, I like it. Well, I wouldn't do it every day, but if I had to, I would. I've been doing a lot of visualization of the words and the script. And so I've been just taking snapshots of the dialogue and in my mind. And it's been helping me a lot with memorizing. I've never done that before, but I don't even know how I stumbled onto it. But knock on wood, it worked. And then Michael Grazadeh and I had 25, 26 pages last week. And we did every scene in one take.
That's
So
amazing. That's really fascinating.
we did rehearse with the two of us. We rehearsed. We the
But
minute he came in.
it's still quite an accomplishment, and I don't think the public gets how really, really complicated that is to get almost no rehearsal time and have to memorize so much dialogue and have to keep doing this over a period of years. Tell me, how does it feel, Michael, when fans come up to you and tell you how much your performances have meant to them over the years? Because the bond between soap opera stars and the fans is unlike any other part of show business.
Yeah, it's really special, and that's really what it's all about. And they're so wonderful. And if it weren't for them, we wouldn't, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I'm so grateful. And they're so loyal, and I love them. And now with social media, it's so awesome that we can communicate in real time. Where back when I first started the show, they didn't even have mobile phones. I'm aging myself, but do you know what I mean? So.
No, it's a very, very close
Wonderful to
bond.
be able to.
Are you really very touched when people come up to you and tell you how much you mean to them?
Oh yeah. And especially when they say things like, my fondest memories are watching the show with my mom and or my grandmother, and she loved you, and she's passed away since, but I still, when I watch the show today, I think about how happy it made her and how much fun we had together watching it. And so it's very nostalgic, and it's very moving to hear everybody's journey.
And it's got to be very gratifying for you. Now, you mentioned Joseph. I
Yes.
have to point out to our audience, your production set a single day box office record as the historical record for the highest weekly gross for a Broadway revival at the Minskoff Theater. You did 231 performances on Broadway. Then you starred in the touring production for 6 months. You broke box office records in LA. I've seen that show and I did get to see you in it. How did you keep that performance fresh every night?
Where'd you see, what city did you see it in? Just out of
In
curiosity.
LA.
At the Pantages. Wasn't that a great theater? Oh my God, that's
Yeah. And you were like unbelievable. I just couldn't believe that you could do that all the time. It felt so fresh.
I look handsome, I look sharp, I'm a walking work of art. No. So what I did was that was the most disciplined I've ever been. Because of the 8 shows a week, what I would do is I never went out after the show, and I went to bed, and I didn't go to loud restaurants or clubs, and I went to bed the minute I was done. And because if you go out or go like to, the cast would all go to dinner and go to a place. If you talk loud for 2, 3 hours at a restaurant or at a club or something, you know what I mean? You're wrecking your voice. And so I really had to protect my voice. I had to wear a loincloth. So you probably saw I had to get a six pack. So I was up in the morning. I did a power run. I did in the gym for an hour, dieting, vocalizing. I would take a nap in between shows. And that was what I had to do because otherwise you'll lose your voice. And back then, smoking was allowed in places. So that's like the worst thing you can have for your throat. So I had to stay away from cigarette smoke, and I don't smoke, and I'm actually allergic to smoke, but I had to just stay away from that kind of thing. And it worked. It worked really well.
Well, bravo to you. That was really quite an incredible accomplishment. Now, I want to talk to you about you and your brilliant wife, Janine. You've written a
Okay.
number of great movies.
Thank you.
What is it about the chemistry between the two of you that you are such incredible storytellers?
Well, thank you, first of all. We really have a great time writing. We banter a lot. I, being an actor, pace around and start. And then he says this, and then, and then she's like, okay, yeah. But then, we create like a dialogue, And so that's one of the great fun things about being an actor. I sort of act out the scenes, and then we're just writing away. And once you get started, really the characters tell you what to do. And if you just get it, if you immerse yourself into the characters, know your beginning, middle, and end, and then just go on the journey with them. and let them tell you what to do. And they will. Your characters are going to, guide you. And so, but you got to know the
Where does
beginning.
the love of Christmas come from? There's so many amazing holiday stories that you have.
I love the holidays and I love Christmas, and it's such a, it's a time, it's probably the one big time when people and families get together and friends get together and actually things stop, like the business shuts down, you know what I mean? And Hollywood shuts down and families come together. And so Christmas has that spirit and meaning for me. And it's about really family. It's about friends being together and sharing love.
Well, I'll tell you, any couple that can write as many touching and poignant stories about Christmas have
Thank you.
huge hearts. And I want to mention two movies, Falling for Christmas
Oh, that was fun, huh?
and Irish Wish. Those movies starred Lindsay Lohan in a major career comeback. What was she like to work with?
Lindsay is a super professional. She came in, she knew her dialogue, she delivered, she was very present, and very proud of her, and so happy that, we had this opportunity to work together. And it was really, we did some very special stuff together with Falling for Christmas and then moving and the shooting the whole movie in Ireland together. It was quite an adventure.
Oh, well, Irish Wish was a real love letter to Ireland for sure.
Hey, I don't know if you know, but we increased their tourism dramatically. There's a whole big, somebody told me this, and I had to like, come on. And I went to the government site and it says that thanks to, Irish Wish tourism and this is all, the Cliffs of Moher and Loch Tay where we shot and the Kilrodery Castle. And it just kind of went on about how, well, 100 million plus people saw the movie. It was number one in the world on
Yeah,
Netflix.
it was
And
beautiful. It was very warm. It did make you want to go to Ireland. More than that, though, you really made us fall in love with Lindsay again. And I never thought that was possible. And you deserve a lot of credit for that. And I want to mention one of my favorite of your movies is romantic comedy, The Sweeter Side of Life, co-starring your father-in-law, the
Oh,
iconic
thank you.
veteran actor James Best. It was his last film role. That
Yeah.
must remain a very special
Yeah.
moment for you and Janine.
Yes, it was really very special to have that opportunity and Catherine Morris was fantastic and we had fun making that movie. I was just talking about it actually just earlier because I was down on the set showing some we were talking about the props in the coffee house and it had all the cupcakes and the pastries. And I was saying when I was directing Sweeter Side of Life, I was telling someone that I was asking the background person, he didn't look like he was enjoying the cupcake. And I said, excuse me, but you really have to enjoy it when you take a bite because it's really yummy. Yeah, yummy. And he's like, okay. And he's doing it and he's not, it just doesn't look real. And then I finally, my assistant director said, oh, Michael, you gave him the fake cupcakes to eat. Those styrofoam. We'll do another take. We have the real ones over here. Just let us know which one you let us know who you want eating the real one because we can't give everybody real ones. We'll run out of real cupcakes. So I was like, that man is great. Please give him a real one. I was could not figure out why he did not like the cupcake. It didn't look real. And I was like, maybe he's just not a good actor. And then he did it beautifully. Gave him a real cupcake, and he was chewing on it and
Who knew? If you give them real food, they'll enjoy it.
I know I felt so bad. Oh
Now,
gosh.
you and Janine have a new movie coming to Netflix September 12th. It's
Yeah.
called The Wrong Paris. What can you tell us about it?
This is gonna be something very fun. And it's a wild ride about it's a love story. It's a rom-com. It stars Miranda Cosgrove. And Miranda, as you know, all the wonderful years of her amazing acting and comedy. This is, I feel like her big coming of age movie as a leading woman and leading actress. And Pearson Fodé from Bold and the Beautiful is her co-star. And it's going to be so fun. We shot all over the place. We shot, in Paris, France, in Texas and Canada and, all over, but it's about a girl that has a dream and she wants to go to Paris art school. She has this gift and she's on the small farm And she's trying to get out of the small town and the small farm, and she has an opportunity. But it lands her on a reality dating show that she does not want to be on and doesn't even watch reality dating. And the show pulls a twist on her, and she ends up in the wrong Paris.
Okay, we don't want to say any more than that. So once again, I want to say to our viewers, Michael and Janine's new movie is called The Wrong Paris. It's coming to Netflix on September the 12th, 2025. So Michael, with your incredible versatility, I mean, you act, sing, write, direct, produce. What aspect of your work gives you the greatest personal satisfaction?
That's a great question. I think it kind of ebbs and flows, you know. I'm here right here at Young and the Restless, you know, today, and you know, I just have a great time immersing myself in the character and the dialogue and just enjoy the ride. But then I'm done, and then I get on a conference call with Netflix to discuss the marketing for the new movie and how excited I am for people to see it and how much time and work we put into this movie. It's been a year plus of hard work, and I hope everyone enjoys it and they walk away with a smile on their face and feel good. I'm working on a new album, new music as well. And so, yeah, so that's something fun that I'm doing on the weekends.
When
I
the
can't wait.
album comes out, promise me you'll come back to promote it.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure, for sure.
Well,
Absolutely.
Michael, it's been such a pleasure meeting you and having this opportunity to celebrate your amazing life and career. I know you've got a really busy schedule. Your time's very limited. Thank you so much for taking the time to appear on our show.
You've been so kind. Thank you, Harry. I really appreciate it. These are great questions, and it was really enjoyable walking me down memory lane. And thank you for reminding me some stuff that I had done that I kind of forgot. And it's like, oh yeah, that was a really fun time. It helps me, you know, just reconnect to a lot of great times and great emotions and emotions that, you know, have shaped me into who I am today. So thank you.
Well, I promise I'll do it again when you come back with the new
Let's do
album.
it. All right, Harry.
Our
Great.
guest has been the mega talented Michael Damian. My name is Harvey Brownstone. Thank you all for joining us. See you next time. Thank you to my producer, Steve Silver, my managers, Rick Marcelli and Robin Bragg Marcelli of the Marcelli Company in Hollywood, my director of programming, Robert Monaghan, my editor, Isaiah Charalampadis, and my entire team at the XPTV1 network in the UK.
Thanks for watching. Be sure to check out all the great interviews on the Harvey Brownstone Interviews YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe and ring the bell to be notified when new videos are posted.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.